Each year, we have a number of non-Jewish groups that come to visit the synagogue and the sanctuary, and when I speak to them afterwards, I have a standard routine that I go through, explaining to them that when you walk into a church, there is a visible symbol of God at the front of a church, but in a synagogue, there is no such symbol, and I ask them what they think symbolizes God in a Jewish sanctuary. So some will say the Torah, which is a good guess, and I say no, that symbolizes God's will, but not God. Or they'll say the eternal light, which is also a nice image, that light symbolizes God, and I say, but there's actually a much more concrete symbol of God in the sanctuary. And that's you. The human being is the image of God in this world. And if I tell them and tell you, if you wish to see an image of God, all you have to do is turn and look in the eyes of the person sitting next to you. And there's an image of God. Now, when I tell them this, as I have scores of times, something always happens. Just happened here. I won't point to you, you know who you are. Which is, people will turn and look at the person next to them, and then they will smile. I know, I saw you. Now, I would like to explain to you why you did that. How's that? You did it because what the Jewish tradition teaches is so profoundly true, that you looked into the eyes of the person sitting next to you, and you felt the power of the moment. And because this isn't the place or the time while I'm speaking to you and you suddenly look at someone to feel that power, you did what people always do when they wish to get rid of the power of a moment. You made a joke. You smiled. It's what Nietzsche said. Nietzsche said, wit closes the coffin on an emotion. You feel something, you don't want to feel it, you make a joke and it's gone. But later on, when you're not sitting here, or when I'm not telling you, instructing you to do it, look in that person's eyes again and don't let yourself smile. And you will discover that there is something magical about paying attention. The poet, in fact, said that to pay attention to someone or something other than oneself is to pray. To look at someone that way is a prayer. Full attention is a prayer. And prayer, that attention, it's a form of love. To bring fervency and fullness and heart to that attention, that's love. And when we pray, not in the detached, formal, gentle way that we often do, but when we bring that wild fire inside ourselves to full blast and we pray with all our heart, then we fall in love. Suddenly God becomes real. Because that's what love does. It makes things real. I don't know how many of you read that wonderful book to your children, The Velveteen Rabbit. But remember, the Velveteen Rabbit is this old, abused toy, but it becomes real because the child loves it. What we love lives. It's true of human beings. It's true of God. And that's what it means to see God in another human being. And this is the greatest single statement that Judaism makes. By far. That human beings are created in the image of God, and it means every human being, everyone, doesn't matter where they come from or who they are, it doesn't matter if they're Chinese or Russian or African or Arab or Muslim or Christian or Jew or gay or straight or young or old or cruel or kind or somewhere in the middle, they're all in the image of God. That is what our tradition teaches, and it's a hard teaching, but it's an important one. It's the opposite of the plague of darkness in Egypt. Do you remember what the plague was? One Egyptian couldn't see another. They couldn't pay attention because they couldn't see the plague of darkness is offset in Judaism by the blessing of light. As long as I can see you, as long as I can believe, which one writer gave as a definition of love, that I can believe that something outside of myself really exists and pay attention to it, then I can do what we prayed just a little while ago. In the central prayer of our service, the Shema, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol miyodecha, you shall love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you know what you do with that love? Right after we pronounce that love, we read V'shinantem livanecha, and you shall teach your children, because what we love, we give to those we love. The things we cherish, we pass on to our children. And that's why I'm here. If I ask myself, why am I standing here? Out of all the places in the world that someone could be tonight, why am I standing in front of a congregation? I know why. It's because of my father, who died a few months ago, but before he did, passed on his love of Judaism, of Israel, and of the Jewish people. And he didn't have to say, here, take my love. It infused his life. And love of human beings and love of God are bound together. Shlomo Carlbach used to say that when he meets someone, and the person tells him he's a Protestant, he knows he's a Protestant. If he meets someone and the person tells him that he's a Catholic, he knows he's a Catholic. If he meets someone and says they're a human being, he knows he's a Jew. But for my father, Judaism was a way of being human. And he passed that love on to me. We pass on to our children what we love. He loved books. So miracle of miracles, I love books. He loved show tunes and Sinatra. And to my family's despair sometimes, I love show tunes and Sinatra. He loved poetry and the thrill that shudders up your spine when you find just the right words to burst the bonds of that secret that lies hidden in your heart. And when I said goodbye to him for the last time, without planning it and without thinking to, the last words that came out of my mouth were a quote from Shakespeare. Because many, many, many years ago, without intending to, he taught me to love the English language and its greatest poet. Vishinantem livanecha, what you love, your children love. When you love someone, you want to share your world with them. And to love God is to wish to share all of your world with something beyond yourself. To want to share everything you are with the one who created you. And the problem with doing it here is that we think somehow the sanctuary is the holy place. It's not. The sanctuary is the place where we recognize the holiness of every place. This is not the special place where it's holy. Religion doesn't live in the sanctuary, it lives in the street. It lives in your home. It lives at your kitchen table. God isn't found in the ark, but in each and every human face, in someone else's eyes, in the ineffable spirit that allows you to open your heart to another and to open your heart to prayer, in the capacity for goodness that lets you string the pearls of prayer, of deed, of compassion, all throughout your life as acts of love. That's where God is. And when we formalize God and when we make it a function of being here and now and separate it, we cut off the capacity to fall in love. This is our chance to allow that feeling to infuse every day and every night of our life, to feel that we don't walk alone through this world. And so I have a title for this sermon. Because today is a fast day, this sermon is called Don't Eat, Pray, Love. Because really, to be a Jew is to fall in love. It's to be enchanted by a vision, to be carried away by the radiance of another human being, to be gripped by God's presence in the world and through a tradition and a people that has endured. It's to be captivated by the very possibility of prayer, which is communication with the infinite. And to know that for that prayer to ascend, your heart must be open, your spirit on springs. I know, and you know, that some of you are only here today. Some of you only here tonight. So think of this as your anniversary. An anniversary is a time to fall in love all over again. On anniversaries, we rediscover our love. So I invite you to fall in love with God, with Judaism, with the passionate possibilities of your own soul, and to discover that deep inside there is a prayer, and each soul has its song.